I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Hello and welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and this is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might also be listening on CFBX in Kamloops or online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And today's guest, we are speaking with Karen McGregor. She is the author of The Madonna Code, and she is going to be speaking at the upcoming Seed event. Welcome to the show, Karen.
Thank you so much for having me, Marie.
Thanks for being on the show. So, first of all, now there's so many events to keep track of, and I'm kind of flaky that way. So when is the Seed event happening?
The Seed event is on October the 13th, and it's a full day from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. and includes many beautiful luminaries like Deepak Chopra, Adam Dreamhealer, David Wolf, Gerald Celente, Jeffrey Armstrong. And so I'm very honored to be part of that and so excited for everyone in Vancouver and around in the surrounding Lower Mainland and down into the States. Very excited to have everyone come and join us.
Nice. So what is the, first of all, we're going to talk about what you're going to be talking about at the event, but what's the overall purpose of the Seed event and your understanding of it?
Well, my understanding, and this is what I think with Greg Mather and Tessa Partridge, the co-creators of the event, my understanding is that they really want to expose as many people as possible to different aspects of spiritual growth. And I know that they work closely with the Paramahansa Yogananda Foundation, and that they really believe in exposing people to meditation, to practices that evoke and ignite peace within us. So anything that has to do with spiritual growth and our mental, you know, letting go, surrendering, are things that they're interested in. And so when they co-created this event and I saw it in Calgary, I actually got to go to Calgary to see it. I thought, wow, this is really a powerful event. So I'm blessed to be part of it.
Cool. So it's going on 10 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Yes.
Now, does that mean that people, as long as they have the stamina to do a 12-hour day, are they going to be able to see everyone, or are there going to be overlapping where you can only, you have to choose between?
No, they will be able to see every single person. And one of the beautiful things as well is that they have exhibitor tables where people can actually experience things like yoga and massage and experience different, you know, try different things out health-wise. So there'll be a lot of products that are available to for free for people to try. And I know for myself, I will have a table there, of course. And people will have an opportunity to see me for intuitive readings and just to talk about some of the things that I do as well. So it's very interactive.
Cool. Nice. All right. So we're going to talk a little bit about your book, but first of all, your main area of focus for the Seed event is going to be life purpose.
Yes. Right? Yes, definitely. It's life purpose in a way that I believe very few people approach it, and that's what I'm so excited about, and I'm actually writing a book about right now, is to look at life purpose through an intuitive aspect versus strictly coming at our life purpose through a rational aspect and intellectual. So that's really exciting to me because, of course, I'm an intuition expert, and I see so many people come to me who are frustrated with their life. They're trying to figure out, what is my purpose? Where do I go from here? You know, should I quit my job? What is my real essence all about? And I find that, just like Carolyn Mace says so beautifully, that we use the rational mind as a tool for everything, but the rational mind is actually not designed to answer those kinds of questions, to answer the big questions in life. And so I believe that our intuitive wisdom, you know, is really we're just beginning to scratch the surface of what's possible with that wisdom. And so that's my passion, is to help people to really come to their life purpose in that way.
Mm. Wonderful. Oh, I have so many questions because everyone wants to know about life. How do you feel about taking calls?
Are you? Oh, yes. I would encourage calls. Absolutely.
Okay. So 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487 if you want to get on the air and ask a question. Now, you are going to be talking about the three main types of life purpose. Can you give us a overview of that?
Absolutely. So the first type of life purpose that I encountered during my own divine chaos, when in the period of 6 weeks my marriage dissolved, my business dissolved, and I was faced with emotional and physical trauma in my family. So during that 6 weeks, my life completely changed. And what happened was I heard a voice say to me, you know, your life purpose is to give and receive love. And I thought, well, you know, that's nice, but am I going to be on Oprah? You know, I'm kind of like trying to be a little more practical here and a little dramatic. And so the voice said, well, Karen, your life purpose is to give and receive love. And I said, well, yeah, I know that already. And can you tell me something I don't know? But I heard this answer over and over and over. And so at that point in my life, when I wasn't, I was grieving, you know, I was grieving the loss of that old identity. I wasn't ready for something new to come into my life where I would be given, you know, 10 steps to my vision. So that was one reason. But the biggest thing around this whole answer to give and receive love was that I realized the first type of life purpose is around our divine life purpose. Mm. So this is that we're all here to grow in love. This is our biggest purpose. And that was the first time in my life that I really came to realize that life purpose is not just about our individual goals and careers and feeling that we're on track with our life, that it really is the bigger picture of growing together in love, of being one together in love. And so, yeah, so that was my aha moment during my divine chaos in my 40th year. And do you want to hear about the other two, or do you have any other questions about that particular one?
Let's go over the other two and then we'll come back.
Okay. So the second one is what I like to call our human life purpose. So the human life purpose is where we all have this search inside of us for, you know, a meaning to our life. And we really want to leave a legacy, a lot of us nowadays, at least I find with people that I speak to. They want to be remembered by something, and they want to leave a mark on this earth. They don't want to go without having done that. And so, although this is very noble, and I do it myself, we all have to keep in mind that it is still a human life purpose, so the ego can get involved in that. And so when the ego starts to take over in the human life purpose, we have things like an obsession about success. What does success mean for me? Yes. Right? And we have this obsession with security. Well, I've got to be financially secure in this, and how much money am I going to make? And all these things are fine, you know, and I'm not judging any of it. It's just that when it becomes more of a focus than the other two types of life purpose, then we start to close our intuitive hearts, and we can't pick up real true clarity on our intuition.
Because you're so full of worry and fear, it just blocks everything else, right?
Exactly. And I actually, one of my favorite quotes that I like to tell people is that we, you know, our intuition is the path to love. It's not the path to fear. And so often when we're in our ego, in our human life purpose, we are in that path of fear. Mm-hmm. And so visually, I like to see those two paths and I ask myself, okay, where am I in this moment? You know, am I in that path of love or am I in that path of fear? So yeah, it's, so I think we all can and should incorporate our human life purpose, but just to keep it balanced with the other two. So the third type of life purpose, which is really what I am so passionate about right now, is the soul calling, the individual soul's purpose for being here. And that's where I do a lot of work with people intuitively, to really tune into their soul's calling. And that can start, you know, in very late in life, or can start early in life. But the symptoms are that we become aware that there's something off. There's just something off in our life. It's just not working the way we want it to. And so that's kind of the initial stages. But as people tune in more, there's little signs, little messages, synchronicities that start to line up. And it's like our soul is saying, okay, I'm going to gradually wake you up here. And if you listen, you know, if you pay attention, you'll get more and more clear on your soul's calling. And if we don't pay attention, sometimes it ends up in what I experienced, which was divine chaos. And I love Carl Jung. He says, you know, that what doesn't come to us as consciousness comes to us as fate. And I really believe that for our soul's calling. You know, so, many, many of my clients have had things like, you know, tragedies, car accidents, like things that are really big that shake their life. And they say to me, you know, I've always wanted to quit that job and start a, you know, start my own business in, you know, selling jewelry or making jewelry. And the moment that that fate intervenes, they say, that's it. I'm going for it. And so I want to help people to live a life where they don't have to go through divine chaos like I did. They don't have to go through fate. You know, that they can wake up and ignite that power within them now. So, thank you.
So, it sounds like a lot of people have to experience life giving them a slap in the face in order to, like, snap out of their ego. And it sounds like you're trying to give them a little gentler tap on the cheek instead of that knocking them right off course so they have no choice but to get into their life purpose. Okay, so this is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and today we are joined by Karen McGregor. And she is going to be speaking at the SEED event. Again, when and where is this happening?
October 13th in Vancouver at the PNE.
Okay.
10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And the tickets are a fabulous price. I believe they're $20 off. Right now at $130, you get to see some of the greatest luminaries in the world share their wisdom. So,
cool.
Very
All right.
Exciting.
And what's your website?
My website, I actually have two, KarenMcGregor.ca,
okay,
and DivineU, DivineYou.ca.
All right, this is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. We'll be back in just a moment.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Main Street area at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Flaming Angels Boutique, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, Red Cat Records, the Regional Assembly of Text, RX Comics, Temple of the Modern Girl, and the Wallflower Modern Diner.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus, or check us out online at citr.ca.
This is a call for artists with a community focus and performance artists for site-specific installation. Public Dreams is calling emerging, professional, and community artists of all disciplines to submit work that may be showcased as the marketing campaign for Illuminaris 2012. Public Dreams will bring the Illuminaris Lantern Festival back to Trout Lake. For submission guidelines, more information, or to donate, please visit publicdreams.org today.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and I'm actually doing a book giveaway on my website. I'm going to be giving away, I think, 11 different books from past shows because I get all these books sent to me and I want to give them to you. So to one lucky listener, if you want to sign up, you can go to my website, spiritualshow.com. There's a link on the main page, or you can go specifically to spiritualshow.com/contest.html. And today we are joined by Karen McGregor. She's the author of The Madonna Code, and she's going to be speaking at the Seed event, which is happening October 13th here in Vancouver at the PNE Fairgrounds, and her website is divineyou.ca. She's going to be talking about life purpose, and we're talking about that today. So welcome back to the show, Karen.
Thank you again for having me, Marie.
Thank you. Okay, so the three types of life purpose are the divine life purpose, the human life purpose, and the soul calling. Now, the divine life purpose, it sounds like you're saying that everyone pretty much has this collective purpose, which is to grow and to love and to come back to our unity.
Yes, yes. Okay.
And then the human life purpose is the wanting to leave a legacy. It's the tangible, real world career type stuff, right?
Exactly, okay. Yes.
And then the soul calling is also a divine life purpose, but it's an individualistic
yes,
divine purpose.
Individual soul calling, yes.
Okay. So, and you were talking about how people generally, in order to get on their path to their life purpose, they have to go through some kind of upheaval, trauma, they get cancer, they get divorced, there's, you know, somebody, horrible accident, whatever, something that just rocks them to the core, and they're like, wow, I'm wasting my life, I need to follow what's truly important.
Yes, yes. And sometimes we get people, clients who come in and they are just gradually becoming more numb, more apathetic in their life. And they, for whatever reason, they begin to realize that and it scares them. Mm-hmm. And so there isn't a particular event for those people, but they come because they are worried that they're really numbing out to life. And so one of my big passions is that I know that when we really tune into our intuition, it can help us feel so alive and so vital. And I believe that the number one reason we feel alive is because we have a clear purpose in our, you know, in different parts of our life, that we really have clarity around our purpose, confidence, and that's what I help people with. So I'm, excited about that.
Cool. And so my next question is, now the human life purpose, we obviously have physical needs here on this planet, and the way that our culture and society is set up, those needs require money, generally, cash
yes.
flow. And so do you try to help people find a combination of being able to financially profit from their soul's calling, or is that the main goal, or can they be separate, or explain that more?
Okay. Well, when we go through, I have a life purpose retreat that's coming up in November, so I'll just speak a little bit about the bigger processes, because when I work one-on-one in one-hour sessions, people just say to me, well, tell me what my life purpose is. and so I say, well, it would be a really good idea for you to come, you know, and learn about how to tune in to your life purpose, because for me, it's an evolving process. It is not a one-step shot. When it comes to finances, though, what I like to do is, because the financial end of things is very much our human
very much our human side of our life purpose. I like to keep that separate from when we're doing exercises to really get clear on what is our soul's calling. So that's the first step, is clarity on that. Once that is clear, and once they have that passion and they know that, you know what, if I die next week, in the next 7 days, if I devote, you know, my time to my life purpose, it will at least be worthwhile. You know, and so it's really important to me that people get clear first in that respect. The other thing that we do in the retreat is to look at what beliefs are actually holding you back from tuning into your life purpose. So I can give you processes, and we can go through those things together. But ultimately, you know, you need to have that. You need to tune into that. And so with the financial part, if our belief systems are such that, you know, I'm not worth it, I don't deserve to go after my dream, or maybe it's just, you know I deserve it, but I've never believed enough in myself to go after my dream. And I can tell you a personal story about that as well for me when I started off in my speaking. Anyway, getting back to your question, I'm sorry, can you repeat that question?
I've had I think I was asking about, can your human life purpose and your soul calling be the same? Mm-hmm. Can you make money off your soul calling?
Absolutely.
Is that the ideal ultimate goal, or do you often, because some people are like, oh, I want to be a musician, and you know, they spend decades trying to make money at it and they can't do it, so yeah, they get a job as a lawyer, mm-hmm, but they play music on the weekends.
Yes, and you know, for a lot of people that is it, and it's important to recognize that for some people their calling is not going to be how they make money. But it's not that way for everybody. If you really want something, I really believe, and I've seen it over and over, if you really want something and put all of your efforts into it, you will make money at it. But the belief systems also have to be there. So we work through those belief systems. Even money, if we can detach from the outcome, even that we can get so much intuitive information about our finances, about where to go, what steps to take to actually earn enough money. You know, in my field, for instance, as an intuitive expert, most people say to me, well, you know, I would love to do what you're doing, write books, speak, you know, have people come for intuitive sessions. But the reality is there's no money in that. And I say to them, well, you know, it is...
Deepak Chopra's making a lot of money.
That's a good line. Hey, I'll use that one. Yeah, and so the reality is, because I have a really strong purpose behind what I do, it's not that I say, well, you know, I'd love to do this, but I don't have a strong why behind it or a strong soul's calling, then yeah, it's very possible that I may give up after a year and just, you know, call it a day. But it is my deepest sense of my purpose that I know 100% I'm meant to do this. And I know that is why I have done what I'm able to do. And that's why I'm being asked to speak at the SEED conference. And so people like Deepak and Adam Dreamhealer and David Wolf, these people are so alive. You know, you talk to them and they're not like that just on stage. They're like that all the time, you know, and so that there's this overriding, powerful, powerful sense of purpose. So I believe that we can all get our finances in order if we change our beliefs and if we are clear about our purpose.
And now, do you, with regards to belief, though, because some people feel like, okay, well, I need, in order to live the kind of life that I want, I need to make $50,000 a year, $150,000, whatever it is personally for them.
Mm-hmm.
And now, sometimes people... I've heard of a lot of people working in the corporate world. They're making $100,000 or more a year, and then they decide that that's too much stress for them, and then they go to a job where they're making $30,000, yet they're so much happier. Mm-hmm.
and they've had to shift their beliefs and obviously change their lifestyle slightly. But do you talk to people about that kind of belief system and their values around how much money they actually need in order to be successful?
Well, you know, this is such a fascinating question, and thank you for asking it, because every person's perspective around how much money they need is so vastly different.
Yeah.
You know, like I know people who make, and I have clients who make over $1 million a year combined in their family, and they come to me saying, you know, I have real money worries.
Wow.
You know, I have this mansion on the ocean and we're making, you know, X amount of money. But the perspective is the belief, right? The belief, I don't have enough. There's never enough. No matter how much money we make, there's never enough. And so to tune into the soul's calling is almost impossible when you think that way, because the grip, the fear of the ego that says you will not have enough, you better stay safe here, is so powerful that they come to me and say, well, I don't know what to do. But they do know what to do. They do. It's just that this is completely overtaking their decisions and their intuitive wisdom. So thank you for that. Yeah, that's And when people make the choice to live a simpler life, they say to me, Karen, I never would have thought that I could be happy without my BMW, or that I could be happy without a closet full of shoes.
Oh, come on now. We have to.
Okay, I actually joke that shoes and chocolate are my two non-negotiables.
Let's not be too extreme here.
Oh, thank you.
But so I'm curious now with these people who are making $1 million a year, is this like a root core belief that there's never enough, or is this a symptom of as soon as I start spending that much more money, so really they've got this lavish lifestyle that they have no choice, like if they want to maintain it, they have to keep working as hard as they can, which is kind of how our society is set up. We need the latest iPhone. We need the new BMW every year. You know, instead of buying a car and keeping it for 15 years, you get the new lease every year, right? So is it symptomatic of that kind of situation? Or is it like, even if you've got $10 million sitting in savings and investments, it's just never enough because you never feel safe in the world?
I believe that it's actually both.
Okay.
Yeah. And I see that, you know, I have children, a beautiful 11 and 14 year old boys, and they're always showing me the latest phones and the latest gadgets and the latest cars. Oh, look what this one can do, you know? And so we are bombarded by a society that, you know, is really telling us that we need to switch up our clothes, switch up our technology, and that is to be expected. That's the way we are to live. And so I appreciate what you're doing, and what my partner Andrew does as well with his radio program, is that you're bringing people to an awareness that there's so much more, and that we can begin to question what our society is really valuing and what we're being asked to participate in. And so if we can step back from that and just start to begin to be aware and to question and to use our intuition and say, you know what, is this yellow dress I'm about to buy for $200 or whatever it is that really in alignment with my highest purpose? And actually, a friend of mine, you may know her, she's a Hay House medical intuitive, Carolyn Sutherland.
Okay.
She said to me, she was asked a question about shopaholics. Yeah, there was a shopaholic in the audience, and she was asked, what do you do when you just have this impulse to buy? And she says, bring it back to your deepest purpose. You look at that thing and you say, is that really aligned with my purpose? If it is, I'm buying it and I'm going to, you know, use it or enjoy it or whatever, if it's a service, a product, but is it aligned? And so beauty, you know, fresh flowers for me, I'll buy fresh flowers, you know, before I buy a new vase that sits in the corner and is to be admired by people that come in. And so, yeah, I think we have to start really questioning, you know, how we spend our money, and is it really aligned with who we are and what our essence is?
Well, it's interesting because in our Western society, it's almost like we have the divine collective life purpose, but we also have a bit of a collective human life purpose, which is to consume, right?
Yes.
That's what our society is based on. And when people stop spending, people are living in fear, like, then that creates a whole another set of problems. So how do you help people find the balance between not buying for the sake of filling this empty hole, but not also completely not participating in our society, mm-hmm. opting out of that? Or do you even advocate for, I mean, maybe opting out is a great idea?
I believe that it really, again, it comes down to tuning into your purpose, to your deepest purpose, and making your life choices based on your purpose in life. So, as an example, my purpose is to really ignite and inspire people to live their life's purpose intuitively. So when I look at, for example, you know, do I buy that pair of shoes? I usually say, you know, yes, this is helping me with my speaking. It's helping me, you know, is helping me look good. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm very careful now with yeah, this is a great purchase. But you know, I honestly feel that for most of our purchases, we are buying into something that is a value that isn't really ours. And so that's why intuition is so important, because we come back to our center and say to ourselves, is this me or is this society? Is this me or is this the thoughts that are swirling around in the, you know, in the stratosphere? Because we are affected by everyone's thoughts, every word, every magazine, everything that's out there. And so to come back to our intuitive wisdom in that, you know, in the buying aspect is really vital.
So I have so many questions, but I want to ask you, I feel like my own soul calling mm-hmm. is to help make other people, like through my own authenticity, mm-hmm. give permission to others to be authentic. And so for me, I feel like with the show and all of that, it's all great and it's sort of more focused, but I could be working at Starbucks and still be living that life purpose. So how do you, I mean, yet I feel like, oh, well, if I was, you know, had a big show like Oprah, I maybe would be making a bigger impact on the world. So how do you help people navigate? 'Cause I think that also, I mean, there's the magnitude of impact that you can have on the world, which can be part soul calling and also very egoic, mm-hmm, right?
Of course.
So how do you help people determine whether they need to have their life purpose be on a greater scale or whether they can still live their life purpose in whatever career or calling that they're doing right now?
Okay. Well, the first thing is, I help people to look at where they're at now and ask the questions of their intuition and be prepared in whatever form that answer comes, be prepared to receive it. So I always say, ask your intuition, accept what you get, and then act on it. So in your case, you know, I would say, if you have any doubts about whether to take your show onto a different scale, you put that question out there. And the first thing you do is say, just start paying attention. Am I getting an inner vision, you know, like a movie picture in my mind? Am I getting whispers of wisdom that are obviously not, you know, my regular everyday thoughts? Am I receiving a feeling in my body when I think about this larger scale, you know, and is it fear or is it real, you know, goosebumps or a hotness of the heart? I often receive this incredible warmth around my heart when I know that I've hit on this universal truth. And that's what I call intuition, actually, is our ability to tune in to universal truth, which then becomes our own individual soul's calling truth. So for you, that's what I would do. I would start with just being very intentional every day. Ask and see what comes to you. Now, sometimes you'll get something, like you'll get an image in your mind, and it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to you. Let's say, you know, sometimes you get a bizarre dream and you think, oh my gosh, what was that about? So the mistake that most people make is they stop there and they say, oh, wasn't that interesting? That was a little strange. Or that synchronicity, that was a bit strange. I don't know what that was about. So they forget that intuition is a relationship. So in a relationship, you know, if your friend says something to you that doesn't make sense, of course you would say, can you explain that? You know, can you make that more clear? And it's the same thing with our intuition. If you receive a message in whatever format, it could even be synchronicity, a serendipitous moment, ask for further clarification. What is this about? Can you give me more information? So that's really, you know, really, really vital. And if you do that, if you do the three things, ask, accept what you get, because I used to never accept what I got. I would resist. If you do all three and you act, if you follow through on what you're hearing, your intuition, your ability to tune into your life purpose is going to grow massively. And then it will just evolve with time. The second thing I wanted to say to you is that I really want to make it clear that life purpose and our soul's calling doesn't, it sometimes is, but often it doesn't have to be you doing a certain thing or having a certain job or engaging yourself in a certain career. I'll give you an example of this. One lady came to me and she was really distraught about her life and asked me, you know, about what can I do to follow my purpose, because I have no clue. I'm just so lost. And all I kept getting for her intuitively was, you have to do something that involves creativity. It has to be creative. It has to allow you the freedom to create on whatever level that is. So sometimes that is the case. Sometimes it is just that there's a certain thing. Like for you, it might be, you know, communicating and sharing from your heart, you know.
I couldn't stop myself from doing that, I think.
and that's actually, you know, when you find yourself so alive in that moment, you say, oh, of course, if I'm doing, you know, whatever I'm doing, if I'm feeling that sense of aliveness, then I know that is part of my purpose. So I hope that helps you in your own question, and the listeners as well, that, you know, it isn't about sometimes finding the right job. It's about really tuning into what is your essence, what is that individual soul calling that you just come alive. It's like, you know, you walk into a room and people say, wow, what happened to you? And you say, well, I just spent, you know, 30 minutes doing this thing that I love to do, or I spent 30 minutes creating because I love to create. And, you know, so yeah, I hope that helps you with that question.
It does. And I have another question, because I feel like there are times when I'm in alignment
and in the flow and you're like totally inspired and energized. And then other times, like as an example, we'll talk about the whole show thing. I was working on a pitch for the CBC and I was like totally feeling inspired. And then I went and I talked with some people who actually have experience pitching television shows and all of that. Mm-hmm. And I sat down with them for a wealth of information. And all of a sudden I just felt like, I don't know if I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the know-how. I don't have the contacts. I don't. And ever since then, I've been on this sort of, like, I'm still doing the things that I need to do, but that passion and inspiration is kind of gone. I'm just sort of, like, waiting for my next breath of life to come back to me.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like let the air out of my sails a little bit. Mm-hmm. So is that an indicator that it's like, I guess my question is, if you're following your life purpose, should it all flow and should it be easy? Or do I need to just get over the fact that it's hard and just do it anyway?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in your case, the reason it's hard is because you were posed an intellectual, rational part that, you know, from outside of you that came in and you processed it through your ego, right? And so that is, it's, if you can imagine a pie, Marie, and this pie, this is a complete circle of your full life purpose, you know, your soul's calling. It's just radiating brightness, right? And imagine that now there's this piece of the pie that comes sailing in and just plunks itself over top of this brightness. And so now you have maybe 3/4 brightness and 1/4 that's blocking the brightness. But it's only covering it, right? It's not part of it. It's not the real you. It's just the illusion of something that was presented to you and the way that you perceived it, and you, and so it's living on top of your beautiful bright circle. And I can tell from talking to you, I don't know if all of you here have a sense of who Marie is, but I've never met her before. She's got this beautiful bright light about her, and it's just so evident that that's who you are. I mean, you radiate this bright essence to people.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so I would say, you know, take it for what it is. It's the intellect combined with the ego, and it's just covering that part. And you know what? When you asked about it, is it hard? It is hard only to the extent that our ego gets in the way. Does that make sense? That's the only reason. And we all do it, right? I mean, yeah, I go through those times many, many times. And that's what makes it difficult is that, yeah, is the ego, the resistance. So for the listeners out there, I want you to draw a circle and imagine that your life purpose is radiating out from that circle. Mm-hmm. And just visualize that every day. This is me. This is who I really, really am. And then take, you know, your greatest fear about coming into who you really are. Take that greatest fear and imagine it just like Marie, just like I said to Marie, that imagine it just covering up and how that feels and how difficult that all of a sudden becomes to move forth. Right? It's a challenge.
Yeah. And oh, I have so many questions, but it's time for a break. And at the Seed event, you're going to be speaking at the Seed event October 13th in Vancouver. It's going on all day, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., which means you'll get to see every speaker. You don't have to choose between speakers. If you can stay there for 12 hours, you get to see everybody. And that's going to be at the PNE on October 13th, and it's called the Seed Event. And we're speaking with Karen McGregor. And now, are you going to be, how long are you speaking for? Is it like a lecture? Is it a workshop? What are you doing there?
It's a lecture. It's a 35 minutes, or actually 40, I believe it's 40 minutes in total. And the beautiful thing is that every speaker has a table. So if you have any questions about what I'm presenting, or even something, if you're planning on being there, we hope you will join us. Come and see me, you know, ask your questions, and I'd love to have a conversation with you about some of the things that we're talking about today.
Wonderful. Okay, so this is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. You can find me at spiritualshow.com. I'm doing the book giveaway. There's 11 books, and I'm going to be sending them all to one lucky listener. So you want to go to my site, spiritualshow.com, to sign up for that. And today we are speaking with Karen McGregor. She's the author of The Madonna Code, and she's also going to be speaking about life purpose, how you can discover your life purpose. She's not going to tell you what your life purpose is, because you got to figure that out for yourself. So you can see her and a bunch of other speakers at the Seed event, and that's happening in Vancouver on October 13th at the PNE Fairgrounds. And if you would like to get in touch with Karen before then, her website is divineyou.ca. We'll be back with more Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul in just a moment.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
The question, what kind of cities do we want to live in? How do we want our cities to be? Cannot be divorced from the question of what kind of people we want to be.
Join me, your host, Andrew Longhurst, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. for The City, an hour dedicated to critical discussions of urban issues. Live on CITR 101.9 FM and CITR.ca. For more info, visit thecityfm.org.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we are joined today by Karen McGregor. She is a life purpose expert. She's going to be speaking at the Seed event here in Vancouver on October 13th at the PNE Fairgrounds. You can find her online at divineyou.ca. And we're talking about the three types of life purpose, which the first one is the divine life purpose, which is the collective. Everyone has this same life purpose, to grow and love. And the second is our human life purpose, which is more of, you know, our impact that we have on the physical world, whether that's our career. Does that include also the connections and family and stuff that we have? Or is the human life purpose?
Yes, definitely. The connections to, because I'm an intuitive, we're also talking about, you know, going past to our ancestors as well. Some of the beliefs that have been picked up, both genetically, spiritually, and so forth. Yeah.
Okay. And then there's the soul calling, which is basically the individual divine life purpose.
Yes.
And so I have a question that hopefully will lead into the next thing that we're going to talk about. And that is, can your soul's calling, can your individual life purpose be one thing at one stage of your life and shift to something else as you grow?
Absolutely. And I think that's another thing that people have a misconception about, is that, you know, our life stays completely the same throughout, and we will always have that one essence or that one thing. But that's not, you know, in our cosmos, that's just not the reality. And for many different reasons, which I won't get into today, but basically, you need in in your life, at least for me, I need in my life to be completely open to whatever is at the moment and not to judge it. So if I'm feeling called all of a sudden to work more in nature, and I haven't touched plants, I've never spoke to plants as an intuitive, and maybe all of a sudden, you know, the plants start talking to me. The plants are giving me beautiful wisdom. I need to look at that. You know, I need to keep my heart open. And so often our human life purpose says, oh no, don't go there. You know, that doesn't involve any money, security, or notoriety. Don't go there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I feel, actually. A lot of times people would say, oh, what do you want to be when you grow up or whatever, or even now? And I kind of think, well, I have all these talents that are really... No, I don't want to say beneficial, but they're not marketable as far as like money, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, sometimes people will say, oh, I don't have any useful skills, right? Like, I might be a great cook, but I'm not going to open a restaurant, you know, but yet they feed their family with love and nourishment and all of that. And that makes a difference in the world in that small way. So how do you... I don't know. How do you get people to change that viewpoint of it has to be transferable into money? And then also there's, because sometimes there can be a gap. Like if you start, like you said earlier on in the hour, if you start living your life purpose and you work towards your soul purpose, whether you're doing it at, you know, as a stay-at-home mom, or whether you're doing it as a broadcaster or a speaker, or an author or a barista or a counselor, whatever it is, you know, that can eventually become an income source.
Yes.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be. So I'm kind of rambling here.
If I can, is that okay?
Yeah.
I feel, as you're speaking intuitively, I feel your heart. It's almost like your heart wants to speak instead of your brain. And I find that that is the case when people come to me with questions around money and about how, you know, how can I really live my purpose without being so attached to money.
Yeah.
And so that the Madonna Code, my second book, is really about getting into our heart, getting into the deepest levels of our heart that know the truth that money is an energy. We make it mean something in our life. And so I love the Buddhist philosophy of standing back and watching our life, or watching ourselves as though we're on a screen. And so we watch ourselves on that screen, and we watch how we negotiate with money and what we believe about money, but we don't become part of that screen. Do you see what I mean? We don't become part of that attachment to the money. And so we can witness ourselves have these thoughts, but just know they're just thoughts. They're just thoughts. And so I agree with you. I believe that one of the biggest, obstacles to life purpose is how we negotiate and our relationship to money. So thank you for bringing that up. I really believe that as I felt your heart, the listeners right now, if you can drop into your heart and really feel the whispers of your heart, and what is your heart telling you about this energy of money? And you'll be surprised what comes out, what your intuitive heart says about it. I've done money exercises with my women's circles in retreats, and there's people just crying buckets of tears after, you know, these processes, because they realize that this, everything they're holding around money is such an illusion. And so they, you know, they cleanse that, they clear that. It's a really beautiful experience. So
cool.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I want to ask, I'm curious about your workshop. Now, I'll put out, because that's what we're here to promote today, is the SEED event.
Of course.
You're going to be at the SEED event, which is October 13th, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. on the PNE Fairgrounds in Vancouver. And your personal website, Kara McGregor, is divineyou.ca. But let's talk a bit about the workshop, because I actually have a friend who suffers from anxiety and is working at a job where this person is just not, is living in fear, just fearful in every aspect of, I don't want to give out the gender, but of this person's life. And so I'm curious, I mean, I guess I have two questions. Can you help someone who is living in such that extent of fear for like decades of their life? Or are your clients more often a little bit closer to where, like, do you have to be in a place where you can, where they can hear what you have to teach them? Or can anyone who's searching benefit from what you're offering?
Well, I believe that every person who comes to the workshop will receive what they most need to receive if they are open. And for one person, that might simply mean, you know, reevaluating one belief, and perhaps they learn to, you know, hear the inner wisdom in one aspect. So they might learn just that little bit, whereas someone else might come in and they are ready. They are ready to take off with their life purpose. They just need to know a little bit, a little fine tuning, and they're there for that purpose. So I guess my best answer for you is, for your friend and anyone else out there who's really struggling and you feel like, you know, is a workshop going to be, or a retreat going to be moving me towards that? And the answer is yes, as long as your heart is open to the experience of you receiving exactly what you're going to get, because the divine is always perfect. Always perfect. We always get what we need to get.
Okay, wonderful. So we just have a few minutes left in the show. So I want to ask you, what do you want to focus on for the last couple of minutes?
Well, I think what I'd love to say is that I would encourage everyone out there to honor their intuitive wisdom as much as they honor their rational mind. And if you really start to do that and you develop that, that is going to be life-changing for you in your life purpose, in your intimate relationships. I see that you have dating and some information on dating on your website, or relationships, information on relationships.
Yeah.
So, you know, it changes our relationships when we start to really tune in to our wisdom within. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is, yes, I believe that all the events that we spoke of are things that help, can just help us to shift, make that one shift that can keep us going, can keep us evolving into our life purpose. So the SEED event is the first event. Very, very important. Please come out. Very inspiring. Many of the top speakers in the world. Second one, October 2nd, 3rd, 4th, I have a retreat, which is called the II Intuition Intensive Certification. And that's beautiful for helping to develop your intuition and heighten the possibilities of where you can go with your intuition. And the last thing, of course, as we spoke of, is the Life Purpose Intensive. And that is on November 24th, 25th, 26th. All that information is on KarenMcGregor.ca, as well as DivineYou.ca, which is DivineYou.ca.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Karen McGregor, and also Andrew Resmer from Conscious Living Radio on Co-op Radio here in Vancouver, for being here. He's here for moral support, I guess, sitting so silently and patiently. So thank you both of you for bringing your energy to the show. And I feel like this is going to be one of those episodes that
you can really benefit from listening to again and again. You're probably going to get more layers of intuition and insight the more often you listen to it. So you can go to my website, spiritualshow.com, or to citr.ca to get the podcast of this episode so that you can listen to it again if you missed anything. So please do take the time to do that. So thanks again for being on the show. Good luck with the Seed event. And again, that's October 13th here in Vancouver on the Peony Fairgrounds from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And you can find Karen McGregor online at divineyou.ca. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much.
Be well. I love you so much. I'll be back next week with more synchronicity. Namaste.
Shindig is back. CITR's annual Battle of the Bands spans 13 weeks and 27 bands. Past participants of Shindig include the Pack AD, 3 Inches of Blood, Japan Droids, Yusei Party, and so much more. The second night of Shindig...